This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
About time.
Man, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, welcome into the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio nationally. And if you're listening to us in Houston, you're listening to us now, Charlie, on a beautiful FM signal, Sportsnet 94.1. How about that sound, huh?
Sound is just outstanding. Every part of the city. So everybody has to tune in to learn about the game of golf.
No more of that crackling that you get with the AM signal, Charlie. Yeah, that's how it goes. So now we get the crystal clear FM here in Houston. That's Sportsmap 94.1. Of course, you can always catch us, SB Nation Radio nationally. Bill Harmon, of course, joining us as well. Bill, how are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Highly motivated, Bill. It was
good, Charlie. That's new for you. What's the reason for the change?
I just had enough coffee this morning, and the Astros. How about them Astros? I know you probably didn't stay up long enough to watch the victory, but, man, what a baseball game, Bill.
I watched the whole thing, Charlie, right to the last home run in the bottom of the ninth for third for the Yankees. And if the Astros can keep getting the Yankees to swing at every pitch in the dirt, they'll shut them out every game.
Oh, my gosh. I started
unbelievable, though.
I started this year playing golf with Dallas Keuchel.
Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel, yeah.
And what a nice guy he is. And to see him throw and do what he did last night is just incredible. What a focus.
Yeah, he looked great. And like I said, I think the Yankees were helping him out because he was nibbling at them and they were biting every single time on those pitches. So it was a masterful performance, I thought, because the Yankee pitcher Tanaka was also very good.
Yeah, certainly. And Dallas Keuchel had them absolutely fooled. And you're exactly right, Bill. I mean, the Yankees hitters were swinging at air.
Yeah, but
most
see, the ball
game.
Looks like it's going to do one thing, and it just drops off the table.
Yeah, he is a magician on the mound. All right, a lot more to get to right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. You're listening to it on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on the all new Sportsnet 94.1. And yeah, that's an FM signal.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, you can hear us nationally on SB Nation Radio, and remember, if you're listening to us locally here in Houston, Sportsmap 94.1 for that nice crystal clear FM signal. I want to get to TJ Auclair from PGA.com. He put out a list of 7 bold predictions for the season. I want to get to that in a second, but really quickly, Charlie, I'd just like to thank you for wearing orange in today. I assume you're representing the Syracuse Orange, my alma mater, last night, who knocked off number 2 Clemson. That was the justification for the orange?
I'll let you have your glory. I mean, that was a great win, but, I mean, you knocked out the number 1 player.
Yeah, the quarterback for Clemson knocked him out of the game. Hopefully he's all right. Had a concussion. He had an ankle injury. You could tell in the first half that the poor kid was hobbled, limping around the field. I was surprised they let him play.
Yeah, but it's a great victory. I'm happy for you.
It really was. So, Bill, what were you going to say?
In 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, huge win for the Orange, especially considering that's the national champs. You don't come into Syracuse on a Friday night and try to get out of there with a win. Come on. All right, so, hey, let's get to this list. It's bold predictions for the upcoming season. So the first one they have down at PGA.com is Maverick McNealy will be the rookie of the year. McNealy made the decision to turn pro after the Walker Cup in August, made his debut at the Safeway Open, tied for 52nd. And remember, he didn't even really want to turn pro, and then he decided to. Won the Ben Hogan Award this year, goes to the best collegiate golfer. So what do you think of that prediction? We'll start with you, Charlie. Maverick McNealy, Rookie of the Year?
It's realistic. It's realistic. I can't come up with anybody else that's going to come out that has his credentials. And Stanford has put together a great golf program and developed a lot of good players.
Yeah, Bill, what do you think about that prediction?
I'm going to say no. A little bit like Charlie, I can't really tell you that I know all the rookies, but I'm sure a lot of them have cut their teeth on the web.com tour and might be a little more prepared, although he's obviously a great player and a great talent. But I'm going to say some of the more seasoned players will, somebody will jump in there and have a better year than Maverick.
All right, let's move into this one. Probably the hottest player on the tour. Justin Thomas will ascend to number one in the world. He's currently fourth. He's behind Hideki Matsuyama, Jordan Spieth, of course, and Dustin Johnson, number one in the world right now. And remember this year, Thomas, player of the year, won five times, including the PGA Championship, won the FedEx Cup as well, and he shot a 59 this year. So, Charlie, what do you think? Justin Thomas, will he be number one in the world this year?
I think so. I think he has the possibility. I mean, he's dominated the game in every aspect, and he's got a wonderful golf swing. And I think he's a complete player. So, yes, he's going to be number one.
Bill, what do you think?
I say no. I say that this will be his first year with the spotlight on him. Dustin Johnson has played very well with the spotlight on him. Jordan Spieth has played very well with the spotlight on him. So I'm going to say that eventually he will get to number one, but I do not believe it will be this year.
Yeah, and that's the challenge, right, Charlie? If he is going to get to number one, it's the guys that he has to leapfrog, considering Dustin Johnson right now number one in the world, and you're looking at Jordan Spieth, who's number two in the world. So it's really not so much about Justin Thomas as it is who's in front of him.
It's a game of momentum, and I think he has got the bit in his mouth, and he's running towards success, and he's learned how to win in a big way, and I can't see anybody stopping him except Bill Harmon.
Well, all right, Charlie. Well, I think he's going to stop himself. So, but I just think it'll be interesting to see how he performs when he goes to a tournament every week and all the press wants to talk to him and all the added pressure of being a great player. I'm not saying he won't be able to handle it. I just think the other two players have already gone through that process and are probably pretty comfortable in it.
Yeah, Bill, it's a real interesting point that you bring up, because I'm not saying that he came out of nowhere this year, but no one was expecting him to have the results that he had this year so quickly. Everybody thought he was going to be a really good player, but to take over and win the FedEx Cup, I don't think most people predicted that. So just how much more difficult is it what Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth have already gone through, where the pressure was on them? Even somebody like Rory McIlroy, he's gone into a season where everybody was expecting things from him. So how much more difficult is it when everybody's expecting you to get to that position, like Justin Thomas will now have on his shoulders?
Well, I think that's what we'll find out. I don't think there's any question that he'll be able to handle it. But I think the other two guys are equally gifted, and they've already been through it. And they probably like the fact that Justin is there to take a little bit of the attention off of them, and maybe they can move a little more quietly through their routine every week. So it'll be interesting to watch. I mean, everything you hear about Justin is everything is positive, and plus he's got the world-class game, and he does look very comfortable in the hunt. But as Charlie knows, week after week after week of reporters asking you stupid questions can get to you after a while. So it'd be interesting to watch, but I still think that the most gifted player in golf, I think, is Dustin Johnson.
Well, I think that the new breed, to use an old, you know, statement, has everything in perspective. They're having fun. They're enjoying what they're doing together, and they're hanging together, and I think they'll help each other deflect some of that pressure. They remind me of the Houston Astros. All the guys are having fun playing baseball, and they can't wait to get to the park. They can't wait to tee it up. Altuve, how about this guy? I mean, he could be number one in anything. I think his attitude, and it just permeates all the way through the squad, and I think the new breed of American golfers, and you put in Phil Mickelson in there, it's they can't wait to get to the golf course. So it's going to be a great season.
Yeah, Altuve reminds me of, remember Bam Bam from the Flintstones, where he's got that huge bat he's swinging? That's what Altuve looks like. He's very small. What is he, 5'5", 5'6", barely? He's tiny. You look at him next to Aaron Judge on the Yankees. It's hilarious to look at. Now, we're running through PGA.com's bold seven predictions for the season. This is actually my favorite one. Rory McIlroy will complete the career Grand Slam, which of course means that he'll win the Masters. Worst finish in the last 4 years has been tied for 10th. He's, of course, coming off a tough season, had the caddy change, switched the clubs at the beginning of the season. How likely is this to happen? Do you go with this prediction, Charlie? You're saying Rory's not going to win the Masters.
You know, it's the only guy that could really win when he was supposed to at Augusta was, you know, lately has been Jack Nicklaus. And I don't know if he's up to that pressure. I mean, you stand up on the first tee at Augusta in April, and it's a different animal. And that's going to be the hardest one of the three to complete the Grand Slam is to win the Masters, in my estimation.
What do you think, Bill?
Well, to win the Masters, you have to be a great putter. And that seems to be his Achilles heel right now. And so I don't think he'll win the Masters. His long game is suited exactly for Augusta National, but you've got to putt good at Augusta. And it just seems to me that Rory has made putting the most difficult part of his game. He's had numerous instructors on it and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, I mean, you've got to read the green right, you've got to aim it, and you got to hit it the right speed. And I think that for some reason he's overcomplicated this process. And Charlie knows this as a teacher and a player. When you take an artist and you make him a mechanic, they don't always get their artistic side back. And so I worry about Rory's putting because he actually, when you watch him on TV, hits a lot of bad putts now. So it's one thing to miss putts with good speed and good direction and have them crawl over the edge, but he hits a lot of short putts now that are missed right off the impact. So I think unless he gets that straightened out, he's going to struggle as far as recapturing number one and winning the Masters. You cannot win the Masters if the putter doesn't feel good in your hands that week.
All right, well, I'm going to spin this forward a little bit because, of course, there's three guys right now that could possibly win the career Grand Slam this year. Phil Mickelson, of course, for what? Like the 10th year has a chance to win the career Grand Slam if he can win the U.S. Open. And Jordan Spieth, if he can win the PGA Championship, he would win the career Grand Slam. So out of those three, neither one of you like Rory McIlroy, of course, to complete it because you don't like him to win the Masters. Which one is the most likely? Would you have to say Jordan Spieth?
I would say Jordan Spieth because I would say an easier tournament to win would be the PGA than the U.S. Open. And Phil, bless his heart, has already has 5 seconds. And it would be one heck of a great sports story if he does that, and everybody's on his side. Everybody is in love with Phil Mickelson, it seems. So they have their work cut out, and I think our man Jordan Spieth could complete the cycle.
Bill, how about for
you? Wouldn't think that the U.S. Open would be suited to Phil, but Phil has had a terrific record in the Open. And you wouldn't think Shinnecock would be suited for Phil Mickelson, and he actually gave the Open away there when he double bogeyed the 71st hole, maybe when Pavin won, I believe. And so he's had success at Shinnecock, but I think if I had to answer the question, you know, I got to go with the 23 or 4-year-old Jordan Spieth. You know, Jordan, I don't think since Tiger have I ever really seen anybody putt as good as this guy does day in and day out. And not only that, his mannerisms, he seems to expect to make every putt. Rory McIlroy seems to expect to miss every putt. And Charlie knows this. At some point in time, putting becomes an attitude. And Jordan Spieth has got some kind of attitude when it comes to being successful at golf. And so I think the obvious answer would be Jordan.
All right, a lot more to get into, including a bold prediction for the U.S. Ryder Cup team coming up this year. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, we can get back into some of these bold predictions in just a little bit, but Charlie and Bill looking at the CIMB Classic this week. Pat Perez right now with the leader. He's 21 under par, 7 under today. Shot a 66 in round 1, 65 then in round 2. Hideki Matsuyama's hanging around. He's at 15 under par, so 6 strokes back. Keegan Bradley also at 15 under par. What do you make of Pat Perez, Charlie?
Well, I think at the age of 40, he's found a new calling. I think he's more relaxed. He went for so many years being one of the maddest players. You know, I mean, he really had a temper. And Bill, he's kind of turned it around. And it looks like he's enjoying the game.
I think one of the things we don't realize about Pat Perez is what a good player he's been for a long time. I believe this is his 16th or 17th year on the PGA Tour, Charlie, and he's never lost his card. And there really aren't that many people that can make that statement in the last 16 or 17 years that have gotten their credentials and never lost it. But the guy that's intriguing to me is Xander Schauffele. I mean, a year ago, nobody's ever heard of this guy. And now he's won the Tour Championship. Excellent player. I believe he won at the Greenbrier. And oddly enough, I think Pat is ranked 31st in the world and Xander's 32nd in the world. So I think he's going to pose quite a threat to Pat the last round. He seems to be playing with a lot of confidence. He has an absolutely beautiful golf swing. And when he showed up on the scene at the U.S. Open at Erin Hills and watching him on TV the last couple days, I was very surprised at how comfortable he looked and how he handled himself. And, you know, he went on at the end of the year to win a tournament and then won 2 tournaments, actually, and then finished it off winning the Tour Championship. So this is a young player that I don't believe is getting enough recognition. And I suspect he'll put some heat on Pat the last round and make Pat perform and win the golf tournament. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, personally.
Well, in watching him, you know, since the U.S. Open, and like you said, you know, this guy came out of nowhere, and another hard name for me to pronounce, but he...
Just go with Xander.
He has a balance in his golf swing that it's a true effortless power golf swing. And for a little guy, he can really hit it a long ways. And
you know what's interesting, Charlie? I work with a young man who played college golf at USC named Eric Sugimoto, and he grew up with Xander. He's been playing golf with him for 15 years. And he told me in April about this guy. He said, I play with him all the time when he's home. He says, you can't believe how good he is. And, of course, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if he's any good, why isn't he doing any better? And, of course, once again, my instincts were wrong. But he had told me in April that this kid was so good you couldn't believe it. And as it turns out, Eric was right. So I look at him as one of the rising stars in golf. I really do. And I'm looking forward to him having a good year. But I think he's going to push Pat in the last round. I really do.
Yes. And Pat is, you know, he's only, what, won one tournament in his career? He's
That's correct.
And he's played a lot of good golf, but hasn't really won a lot. So he'll be tested. And Hideki Matsuyama, who won there last year or started his run in Asia last year, is only 6 back. So, and Keegan Bradley, how about Keegan Bradley? He's trying to work really hard to get back to where he was when he was a PGA champion. There's a guy that's been affected by the lack of, you know, being able to use that long putter.
Yeah, and he changed coaches 2 or 3 times, and you always wonder about those guys that win majors. And this the pursuit of perfection in golf, I really think, is a disastrous road to go. I think it was Trevino who said about Tiger Woods, he pursued perfection and found disaster. So I'm always interested in these people that have great success and then they decide they got to change everything to try to get even better. More times than not, it backfires on them. So it's good to see Keegan back playing again. Very, very talented guy, but a guy that we thought after he won the PGA and had all those successful Ryder Cups, that he'd be one of the mainstays in American golf. And like most players, he's gone through a period of adversity. And you play this game long enough, you're going to have that period of adversity.
Yeah, speaking of Keegan Bradley, we know he's good friends with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan did an interview this week with Cigar Aficionado. Pretty good life. He says he plays 36 holes a day, and he smokes 6 cigars a day. And we know, Charlie, that he's going to design his own golf course. But interesting, this is what he said about the Jack Nicklaus-Tiger Woods comparison. Quote, I won 6 championships. Bill Russell won 11. Does that make Bill Russell better than me or me better than him? I think Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods are both great. I would never say one is greater than the other.
I like that. That's a good way to look at it, Bill. I mean,
I don't see why do we have to have a greatest.
Right.
You know, one of the reasons I don't like these conversations is we have to diminish one of the other players. Why can't we just say they're both great? They're both they were the greatest players of their eras. Our game is impossible now to compare with the change of equipment and things like that. Why can't we just say they were both unbelievably great players because that's what they were? And so I don't think there has to be a best of all time. I think the greatest pitcher I ever saw was Sandy Koufax, and he won 165 games in his career because he didn't have a long career. But if you wanted to go one game for your life, I'd pick Sandy Koufax. If you asked someone to play one round for their life, if someone said Tiger Woods, it'd be hard to argue it. If someone said Jack Nicklaus, it'd be hard to argue it. So I don't like these discussions on who's the greatest, especially because they didn't play against each other. So you just don't have that one-on-one competition to – it's a guess at this point because they're playing different courses, different equipment. Let's just say they were both a hell of a lot better than the people that they played against.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, too, and – Michael Jordan, of course, said this week he played with Jordan Spieth just a couple of weeks ago. Remember, we saw the picture where they were in Cabo together. But this is what I found interesting, what he said about Ricky Fowler. Ricky is coming into his own, real talented. He's a phenomenon in that he resonates with the consumers and the kids. So what is it about Fowler that makes him so popular? Because it seems like there's nobody that doesn't like Ricky Fowler. Like somebody, usually you can find something to dislike about somebody, but it seems like everybody loves Fowler.
I got a story about Ricky. When the PGA Championship was at Oak Hill Country Club, I believe in 13 or 14, my brother Craig was finishing his last of 42 years here as the pro. Ricky came in the week before to play a practice round, and as he was leaving, he saw 4 or 5 kids practicing putting on the putting green. He asked Craig who they were, and Craig said they were just some of the junior golfers there. He went and got his putter, and he putted for 2 hours with these kids.
Wow.
2 hours on his own, and when he got to the tournament the next week, he had a big box of hats. He walked up into Craig's office, gave Craig the box of hats. He said, this is for the junior golfers here at Oak Hill Country Club. I think that story right there is just about all you need to know about Ricky Fowler.
Well, the only thing that happened a couple years ago is a lot of the players, or he was the best player not to have won a tournament, and people were jealous of all the money he was making off the golf course. But then he just went over to the Scottish Open and proved that he was a good player and won, and that kind of changed everybody's attitude. And when he started working with your brother, he took on a different personality with his golf swing. He made a change that was really, really neat, and my hat's off to him. And he finished second in all majors.
Perfectly fair. He still has not won a lot.
Yeah,
you know, he won the Players Championship, which is a huge event. But for a guy who's thought to be a superstar, I think he's only won 4 tournaments in 9 years. But he has every quality to be a superstar, and he is a terrific player. But in the last couple of years, Charlie's had a hard time closing the deal. And now he's playing against, we say, these young kids, because we look at Ricky as being a little bit older now. We've got a group of young kids that are closing the deal now, that are winners. And it makes you wonder if it's going to get even harder for Ricky, because as you know, Charlie, the more you go without winning tournaments and the more chances you have that you don't convert, it just gets harder and harder. In the back of your mind, you have to wonder if you have what it takes.
Well, if he tees it up and wins the Masters, that'll set him off.
That would be quite the story. All right,
big gift.
You're listening to the Charlie Hibbs Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, welcome back in. We're, of course, brought to you each and every week by Insperity, and you can hear us locally in Houston now, SportsMap 94.1 for an FM signal, nationally SB Nation Radio. Let's move along to some of these other bold predictions, Charlie.
Yes.
So this is PGA.com put out a list this week for seven bold predictions for the upcoming season.
Yes.
How about this one? Phil Mickelson will make his 12th consecutive Ryder Cup team. Now, here's the catch with this one. Make it on points.
Boy, that's going to be hard. I don't think he'll make it on points. I think unless he can win, I just don't think he's going to make it on points.
Yeah, and Bill, Mickelson has never needed a captain's pick to make the squad. He ended up 34th in the FedEx Cup standings in 2017. What do you think? Does he make the team on points?
Well, I think one of the other questions is, will he win this year? And I think that he will win. And so if I think he's going to win a tournament, then I have to think that he'll make the team on points. So I'm going to go that he will make it. I think he's extremely motivated. He played very well at the Napa last week, played very well in the President's Cup. And one of the things that I learned being on Jay Haas's support team for the 2015 President's Cup in South Korea, and I got to spend the whole week with all the players and all the team rooms and all the team meals and the buses and things like that. I came away from the week thinking that there were two people on that team that truly loved to play golf. I mean, truly loved it. And one was Jordan Spieth and the other was Phil Mickelson. So Phil still has a childlike, innocent love for the game. He's as curious as ever. He still hits it a mile. He still does a lot of things right. And I think if he can get his putting just a little bit above average and drive the ball a little bit better, I think he could win multiple times. I really do. I've made this prediction on this show many times. I think he'll be the first player to win a major in his 50s.
Wow, that's interesting. He turns 48 in June.
Now, that's a bold prediction.
Yeah, that's bold.
That is a bold prediction. But I think because he still has length, Charlie, and he's a winner. One thing about Phil, he's not afraid. And anybody that's not afraid, Charlie, you know this, teaching the elite player. People that don't have to deal with a lot of self-doubt and fear and love the action and love the hunt and are show-offs by nature, they can pull things off a little bit different than the person that is a little more conservative in their thinking.
And the other thing, for an older gentleman, he's strong. He's big. He's a big guy.
Yes, he is.
I mean, and he can stand the rigors of 25 weeks out there. So I can't disagree with Bill. Not many guys have won over the age of 45. To win a major at 50, I'm 72, so the new 50, for me is 70. So
New 50 is 70.
Yeah, and the new 30 is 50. So we're getting younger because we're eating better. We're more conscious of physical fitness. My young grandson, who's with us this morning, is 11 years old, and he's into working out and eating right. And his dad's, I started working out when I went to basic training in the Army. So it's changed, and time will only tell, Bill. And that would be fun to see him win a major at 50.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and by the way, another one of these predictions, which you both just answered, is Phil Mickelson will break through, win for the first time since 2013. Bill already said, yeah, and I think, Charlie, you basically agree.
You really want him to.
Yeah.
I want him to, because he represents the game the way we like to have our game represented, and you know he's a complete package. So, except he likes to gamble a little, but that's all right.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people like to put some money down on games once in a while. I'm not going to say if any of them currently reside in the studio or not. Hey, let's move on to this one, though. And I don't know how bold of a prediction this one is. Number three on the list is the U.S. Ryder Cup team will win on foreign soil for the first time since 1993. Of course, we just saw what they did in the President's Cup. But, I mean, Jim Furyk's going to be the captain of the team in Paris. But you look at the U.S. roster, I don't think this is that much of a bold prediction. I get the difficulties of playing away from home, but based on the roster that the U.S. is going to have, is this bold of a prediction, Charlie?
I don't think so, because one thing that's happened to the European Tour is in the Ryder Cup for the Europeans, it's gotten old, and they've played so many. The young guys don't have enough experience, so I think everything is setting up for us to really have a lines, you know, a victory that beyond belief. I mean, and I think that's going to happen, Bill.
I think they're going to win, too. I think these young guys have really embraced these team events. I think they're really into it. You know, there was a time when the American fan thought the American players didn't care, which is never true. But I'm going to take it a little step further. I'd say that these younger guys really, really like it. They really care. They grew up playing junior golf together, playing college golf together, and they seem to have kind of a special bond that players maybe 20 years ago didn't have. So I think the Ryder Cup is going to be in the Americans' hands now for a few years. I just think the younger players have really, really embraced the team event. They're into it. They're good. They're cocky. They're show-offs. They have the inner arrogance that you need to be good. I think the game from an American standpoint is really, really strong right now.
Yeah, and Jim Furyk's going to be the captain of the team. He, of course, was an assistant captain with the President's Cup team this year. What do you make of Jim Furyk as the captain? You like that pick?
You know, Jim Furyk, to me, is one of the great golfers of our time. I mean, I think what he's done in his career, he's won $70 million. He's won a major. He's won 15, 16, 17 times. And he's another guy like Phil that he loves to play. And he's going to last a lot longer. And his shoot 58, 59. And I think he's proved that playing golf is an art, and he's had over 200 rounds of golf without a bogey. Can you believe that, Bill?
He did what?
He's had over
200 rounds without a bogey? I don't think that's right.
Yes. Yes.
200 rounds or yeah. 200 holes?
200 rounds.
That's not possible.
Okay, well, we'll look it up.
Well, you got to produce that one to me, because that would be a record. That
yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I am saying it didn't happen.
No. It's one of those, you know, 44 hits in a row, you know, with Pete Rose. What's that record?
Oh, Pete Rose's hit streak?
Or no, you're thinking of Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, 56, right, Bill?
56.
I mean, 56 for Joe DiMaggio.
But you got to produce 200 rounds without a bogey in a row, Charlie. I got to call you on that
one. I know it.
Wouldn't be a show if I didn't call you on
that. That's it. That's what it's all about.
But back to him as a captain, he was a vice captain at the President's Cup in South Korea. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the week with him. I left that week. That was one of my real joys that week, was spending one day with Jim Furyk riding around in a golf cart talking about everything from being a parent to a golf pro to everything. I can't tell you how impressed I am with Jim Furyk. And he's a current player, and the players really respect him. So I think he'll be a terrific captain.
Yeah. What about his swing, Charlie?
His swing is his. He owns it. He uses it, and it uses it to his advantage. And I just marvel at the way he plays golf. And his grit and his predetermined. I saw him have the worst break ever. He flew it in the hole on 16 at Firestone for Eagle, and the ball came out of the hole and went in the water and made seven.
Wow.
You know, I mean, but he's, you know, I saw him miss the cut at Augusta. And then the next Saturday, in the morning on Saturday, Bill, the first guy who's on the practice tee is Jim Furyk.
After he missed the cut?
It's funny how you don't forget those things when you see him. You know, Charlie, it's kind of a passing thing, but when you do see that, you kind of put that in the back of your mind. Uh-huh. This is why this guy is so good. You know, it's funny the things you notice.
You know, the golf, you know, golf will reward hard work.
All right, well, we'll come back.
I agree with that.
We'll come back and we'll put a bow on this one next. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio and locally on SportsMap 94.1 in Houston.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
Yeah, we're talking about Jim Furyk there, who's going to be the captain for the Ryder Cup next year. By the way, you know what his nickname is now, Charlie, after last year?
What?
Mr. 58, because he had the 58 in 2016.
And he didn't make a bogey that day either.
He did.
Gotta... 200 rounds. That's the funniest thing you've ever said, Charlie.
I'm going to find it, Bill, because I knew.
It's 2 years. It would be 2 years without a bogey, Charlie. Well, so 100 rounds of golf would be 25 tournaments.
That's it.
So that would be two consecutive years, never made one bogey? Come on.
He's played 580 tournaments.
I don't care. He's never done, nobody in the history of the world's done 20 rounds without a bogey, more or less 200.
Well, we'll see.
We will see. That's the funniest thing you've ever said. It makes the show lively, though. It's like being on a show with Yogi Berra.
You're right about that, Bill.
That's it.
By the way, should we move on to the final bold prediction from PGA.com?
Shoot.
All right, the final one is this. Tiger Woods will not play again. Tiger has said in the past he doesn't want to be a ceremonial golfer.
So did Nicklaus. I think he'll play again. And I do. I really do. The heart of a champion.
So you think he's going to be okay?
I think he'll play this year.
Yeah. Well, to your point, Bill, we just saw earlier this week he was at his, what, Foundations tournament?
Yeah.
And he was hitting full swings there.
You know, if you could ever do this, someone sent me these pictures, but of his swing in 2000 and that swing that he just made. Not the follow-through, because it looked like he was certainly protecting his back, but the backswing and halfway down, he was almost exactly the way he was in 2000. So I wonder if he's going to go back to that swing, that maybe he's looked at all the clips of his swing over the years and decided that perhaps that was the best he ever swung, and maybe he would go back to that technique. But if you can get any pictures of him hitting iron shots from 2000 and then compare him to the swing that he just made, halfway back, top of his swing, halfway down, they're almost identical.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be a swing as much as his putting.
That's what would be the biggest concern to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, though.
But it's a lot better if you're putting for birdies instead of putting for pars.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, but still, but I think he'll play, and I hope he plays.
Yeah, I do too. Can you imagine what it'd be like? The sport is in such a good position right now with the emergence of Justin Thomas, the way Jordan Spieth has played, Dustin Johnson over the past couple of years, Rory McIlroy. But can you imagine what it would be like? And even Phil Mickelson's played pretty well the past couple of months. Could you imagine what it would be like if, at Augusta, Tiger Woods is teeing off on Thursday, how fun that would be?
It'd be unbelievable. It'd be a wish come true.
Well, and plus, he's the guy that has spurned on these great young players. When you think that Tiger's now in his 40s, the players that we're mentioning are in their early 20s. And so when they were young kids, Tiger was the one who was dominating. Tiger is the person that inspired these guys. They're all physically fit. They all hit it a mile. They all are great putters. They're winners now. And I think the greatest thing you can say about any athlete is that he made the other players better. And I don't think there's any question that Tiger's influence on golf is that he made the players better. because if they didn't get better, he was going to whip them even more.
Yeah, real quickly, Ernie Els is using an exemption for being in the top 25 on the all-time money list. He does have another exemption, which is because he's being in the top 50, so he's using one of those two. Fifth all-time on the money list, so good to see that Ernie picked up the exemption, so he's going to remain part of our golf lives, if you will.
Yeah, there were a few other guys, I think. Goosen and Timmy Clark were using their top 50, and there was one other player, I can't recall who it was, but there's four players using that exemption to play, and I love seeing Ernie play. Charlie's been around a lot more than I have, but every tournament I go to, there's very few people working harder at it than Ernie Els. Very proud man.
You know, with one more victory, he'd be exempt for his for life because 20 victories on the PGA Tour, like Davis Love, you have your card. So everybody loves Ernie Els. He's the one of the nicest guys, fun to watch, great demeanor, has had his, you know, he grew up in that era of Tiger. If Tiger hadn't have been around, Ernie conceivably could have won two or three more majors.
Ernie and Phil would have won probably five more majors apiece if it wasn't for Tiger.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, pretty incredible. And by the way, Retief Goosen, he turns 49 this year, and Ernie Els is going to be 48.
Mm-hmm. And Retief Goosen won two U.S. Opens, so, you know, great player. Another great show.
Yeah, certainly
was. Guys.
All right, thanks a lot, Bill. Really appreciate it. Great story about Ricky Fowler, by the way.
Great. Thank you.
All right, Charlie. Well, you have yourself a good afternoon. Get out there with your grandson, Charlie, on the course, and have a great weekend.
We're going to go and do that right now.
Oh, no, by the way, we should say this before we leave. Go Astros.
Go Astros. Come on, boys. Let's go.